right. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right. We're in chapter 5 this morning. We left with a cliffhanger last week. So this one and 6 are certainly my favorite chapters. Just the story's intense. I think we're going to enjoy going through it. As you know, I always say this, but this is different than church, right? I'm asking you to respond, to interact in the text. I have so many questions. I don't think we'll get through them all, but I want you to participate. So as we read this, be thinking, be asking yourself some questions, formulating your thoughts. And I'm close to just calling people out, just saying, you haven't said anything ever. But I'm not going to do that. I want to, but I'm not going to do that. All right, so join me as we read this here. Esther chapter 5. On the third day, Esther put on her royal robes and stood in the inner court of the palace in front of the king's hall. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing the entrance. When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased with her and held out to her the gold scepter that was in his hand. So Esther approached and touched the tip of the scepter. Then the king asked, "What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you." "It is, if it pleases the king," replied Esther, "let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him." "Bring Haman at once," the king said, "so that we may do what Esther asks." So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine, the king again asked Esther, "Now what is your petition?" "It will be given you." "And what is your request?" "Even up to half the kingdom, it will be granted." Esther replied, "My petition and my request is this. If the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request, let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. Then I will answer the king's question." Haman went out that day happy and in high spirits. But when he saw Mordecai at the king's gate, and observed that he neither rose nor showed fear in his presence, he was filled with rage against Mordecai. Nevertheless, Haman restrained himself and went home, calling together his friends and Zeresh his wife. Haman boasted to them about his vast wealth, his many sons, and all the ways the king had honored him, and how he had elevated him above the other nobles and officials. "And that's not all," Haman added. "I'm the only person Queen Esther invited to accompany the king to the banquet she gave. And she has invited me along with the king tomorrow. But all this gives me no satisfaction as long as I see that Jew Mordecai sitting at the king's gate." His wife Zeresh and all his friends said to him, "Have a gallows built 75 feet high and ask the king in the morning to have Mordecai hanged on it. Then go with the king to the dinner and be happy." This suggestion delighted Haman and he had the gallows built. Incredible, all the things that are happening, the way the author described all these events, which there's so much detail to it, where she's coming, where the king is sitting, the conversation has so much play in it, back and forth, if it pleases the king, if he delights in me, it's quite a narration of an incredible moment for her in her life. One of the commentaries I was reading just brought up this point. I thought this was interesting. "Well, Vashti risked her life by refusing to appear before Xerxes when summoned. Esther risked her life by appearing before the king unsummoned. And it is a contrast, isn't it, with one person's situation and another, both of these queens with this king. We get to see their character come out very strongly. So what happens when you're in a pressured situation? When you're in an intense life situation, what happens? Well, often we don't know, right? We don't know what's going to happen or what's going to come out of us when we're tested hard. And so I just want you to be thinking about, there's been a time in your life where you've been tested and it's intense. What happened? How did you respond? What happened inside of you when those moments happened? And if you haven't faced those, you will. But most of us have lived long enough where that's probably happened. If you've had an intense moment, you've had a crisis, you've had a call to, okay, this is it. I got to stand or I'm going to crumble. One of those happens. And in these situations, this is intense for her. So I want you to think through, what is this feeling like for her? Put yourself in her shoes. She's coming at this is the biggest moment of her life. However old she is here, maybe 18, 17, somewhere that, 20 maybe, the most probably. Depending on how long this has been, it doesn't seem like it's been that long since she's been the queen. We're not exactly sure. But I just want to think through, what do we know? What do you know? So in the first four chapters, what do you know about Xerxes so far? How would you describe him? Who he is, his personality, how he behaves, what motivates him to do and respond the way he does? So what would you say? So just pretend this is a test and you have to fill this out. And if you put nothing, I'm going to give you an F. So you have to fill this out. What would that be? What would you say about Xerxes? What would you write in that blank?
I'd say he's unstable and prideful.
Unstable?
Yeah.
Prideful? What else?
Intense.
Tense?
Intense.
Intense. Okay.
He's really influenced.
By what?
From all the other kings of the country.
Hmm. Yeah. Yeah. What else do you guys, what else would you say about him?
He was pretty impressed with Xerxes.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. Xerxes was impressed with Xerxes. Ahasuerus was impressed with Xerxes.
He liked his wine.
Yeah, he did, didn't he? What else? What else? I'm thinking of a couple things that stand out to me. What?
Fickle.
He's fickle. All right.
Vicious.
He's vicious. What else? What else would you?
Quick to respond to things, you know, like with the Boshki. And it was a drastic thing, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Impulsive. There you go.
Nice girls.
He very much is influenced.
He doesn't know where he can be led.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I probably wouldn't think of nose the first thing, but he's led around. He obviously responds, right?
He's a healthy male.
He's a healthy male, isn't he? And what else would you say to sum up Xerxes?
Maybe lonely.
Lonely? Hmm. Yeah, that's good. He obviously loves parties, right? He is very much influenced by what he sees. So he's visually motivated. He does seek the counsel of other people, but he's easily, oh, that's a great idea. Let's do that. To make a law to cancel or divorce a wife, wow. It's quick, right? He responds quick. He sees, he responds. And this is... that is typical for a lot of men. You see something, you respond, you make a decision. Boom. All right, Esther, what do we know about Esther? How would you describe her so far in the first four chapters? What would you say if you had to fill in the blank?
Obedient.
What else? Pardon?
Respectful.
Respectful, yeah. Those are two good qualities, right? Everybody wants to see that in their kids, right? Respectful, obedient. What else do you see?
Beautiful.
Beautiful, right? These are brave, incredibly brave. Political. Okay. What else do you see?
Humble.
Humble.
Doesn't have an imposing personality.
What has all these first four chapters done to her? What happened to her in these last 2 years?
Grow up.
Think of the experiences she's had. Right? A year of learning how to please a king. That's a long time.
Not just any king.
Yeah. He was not the virgin king, was he? No, he wasn't. So just think, what would that do to you? Now she's queen. She got chosen, right? Just think of what that would do to you. So what has she learned from all that? She did that for a whole year. The king chose her, pleased with her, loved her. Now she's queen. What has she learned about how she can influence?
A good meal and a cute outfit.
What was that? A good meal and what?
A cute outfit.
Enticement.
She can get anything she wants.
Huh. She knows how it works. She has learned an awful lot. Because in this first verse, what's happening in that first couple verses is incredible. There's a lot happening. Let's go to Mordecai. What's happening with Mordecai? What do we know? What has the text told us about him in the first four chapters? Sure. She does, doesn't she?
Yeah. And she's very masterfully attuned.
Yeah. That's great. All right, Mordecai, what do we know about him so far?
Shish kebab?
Pardon?
Shish kebab? Well, that's coming up.
Yeah. What do we know about, what has the text said about Mordecai, who he is? He's a Jew. Okay. That's right. What else? What else do we know about him?
Man of God.
Okay.
He feels responsibility.
Yeah. Okay. If that happened in your family, would you take your niece? Would you? I mean, you kind of think, well, of course I would. But that's a big thing. Even in a tragedy, right, where parents were either killed or gone, they're dead. So he assumes that responsibility. That's a certain type of person that's willing to do that. There's a lot of character. You might just say yes, but then there's a lot to it, right? When you choose to raise another person's child. There's a lot to that. That does speak to his character. What else is it? What else do we know?
Off of that, she doesn't seem to have any other family.
Hmm.
There's no mention of a wife
that she has. That's right. The text doesn't say that, does it? So that's what I've always assumed. We don't know that, but it never speaks to any of that, right? It just speaks to her being his adopted daughter. All right, what about Haman? What do we know in the first four chapters about him? What has the text said about Haman? He's hateful. Yeah.
He's even more full of himself.
but he's totally insecure then, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because he got the approval of the king.
Yeah. Wasn't
still
enough.
One man at the gate doesn't bother him.
Isn't that amazing? So he is seeking something. He is in desperate need of certain types of treatment, isn't he?
Well, he gets his friends and wife together, and he boasts to them about his wealth and his many sons.
Yeah.
I dare say his friends and his wife were quite aware of how many sons he had.
That was one of my questions. What in the world is he telling people that know all this?
Yeah.
That does very much seem like a statement that comes out with too much to drink. Let me just tell people that already know.
It seems the one characteristic that the text keeps hammering on is how important it is that Haman receive homage or homage, depending on how you like it, from one person. Mm. It's sort of like everybody else in the kingdom had acknowledged that, you know, he's the guy, but if Haman doesn't hear Mordecai say it, then it's like, give it up, man.
Yeah.
But it's like this is an obsession with him, and it seems like that's his primary personality characteristic that we see here. It's like if one person doesn't acknowledge that I'm numero uno, mm-hmm. then that, well, it is singular mind, so I have to say that. that destroys him. It's like,
That's right. Well, we're going to see that, right? And these next two chapters, this is it. This is the second to last day of his life. And so we're going to really see this whole thing play out. So in the first verse here, it comes to the king. So what has Esther been doing for the last 3 days? Praying and fasting. Okay. What else?
Working up the courage.
Working up the courage. Planning a menu. This most likely she is cooking, preparing, doing all this. Talked a lot with Danny just about, did this plan just get formulated on day one of fasting? Did the Lord just say, okay, did he divinely give her that? Did she just come up with this? Well, the guy loves to party. He loves banquets. I know what happens when he has a little too much to drink. Is that part of it? Did she have the two banquet idea at the beginning? One of my questions that I asked myself, did something happen on the first night of that banquet that made her go, you know what, I'm doing another one? Was it planned? It's hard to know. But you know, just from these words, the scene behind it, their behavior, the words, the conversations, because not much conversation is recorded, some, but very limited. You know there's lots of talking, right? There's a lot happening. So what else was she doing these last 3 days besides praying, fasting, preparing a meal? She's picking out that cute outfit. She's getting that perfect. Royal robes. What does that mean? Does she have one set and they're hanging in a certain place or they're in a bag and that's just went and grabbed them? Or does she have a ton of stuff? A lot of preparation. She picked that out. So ladies, when you pick out something and you're trying to impress, is it just the first thing you see? No. Never. Never. I'll walk in the bathroom and Anita's all dressed and then she comes to get in the car and she's in a completely different outfit. I'm like, what in the world happened? It's hilarious. There's so much going on.
The thing that would look the most cool.
Yeah.
Ruling the country.
Yeah.
She just got in this on a beauty pageant, you know.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any people putting with him. Not even close. So she was trying to probably look
as regal, as royal, as mature, as beautiful as she could look.
Okay. Men, what do you think she was trying to do? Come on. I don't think it had a whole lot to... To me, that's it. Because this is all about getting him to take on the most horrible thing that's ever happened in her life, ever. And that's so much, that's the wall, that's the weight behind all this. Think of that. If you know you're going to die, and everything you're doing could influence all these people from dying. It's much more than just a beauty pageant or trying to look. That motivation behind that is going to be so intense. So she's figured out a lot of things. And the way I, as a guy, would read this is she is going to do anything she can to make him see it, see her, and say yes. That all this behind the royal robes, as we're going to talk about, just this, how does the author describe this scene with her? What are the words, the descriptive words in these first two verses? What do you see? Look at them all. It's incredible. What she's wearing, the day, the robes, she stood. Why did it say she stood? Why didn't she get on her knees?
Isn't there refuge? Well, I think she's trying to do her best to convey her own position of authority and respect. Not one that's like, demeaning him, but like one that's saying, like, no, I'm not just coming in here with some sort of flippant respect. I'm being here.
In the inner court of the palace. How often is she walking around there? That's one of my questions. How do you... It's incredible. All of the commentaries say if she, whoever's guarding him, had the right to kill anybody who came where they shouldn't. You don't go there. And it wouldn't preclude any of these women. It's the same. The threat is real. She's seen people being taken out. This guy is vicious. He has no...
Yep.
Oh man, much so much so. Our idea of marriage—that's not it. This is not that. Did she have that position as queen? Yes. I love the way it keeps talking about the detail in front of the king's hall. Right? Did she know? She's been there. She's seen this. And when he. The king was sitting on his royal throne in the hall, facing, why does he say all this? Facing the entrance. So where she's standing, where he's sitting, where he's facing, it is going to be so prominent of what he is seeing. Right? And all this is just helping us create this story in our heads. So we talked about the king is sitting. And what, so her plan, as you think through, like what her, how she formulated this plan, what was Esther's plan for making her plea to the king? And how did she think this was going to work? Because if you're in this kind of an intense situation, you're thinking it through. In those 3 days, she's having conversations in her head. She could be talking to her ladies that attend her. Possibly, we don't know, but you know the intensity of that. It's just like, I'm going to say this. I'm going to walk in. I'm going to stand right here. I'm going to be wearing this. I'm going to look at him. I'm not going to look at him. I'm going to... All of that was so planned out. There's no other way you can think through how this is going to happen in her mind. You know she's thinking about every little thing. And I love the way they give you enough that if you sit in it, you start thinking this. You start playing it out in your head. Oh, this is the way this is going to... Oh, man, think of that. I love the way this person, the author, is doing all this. It's wonderful. Okay, so we kind of talked a little bit about how did she think she could get him to listen. So much about how she comes in, what she looks like, right? And we're assuming we know she became queen, right? We don't know how long that has been from that point to this. We do know the text does say it's been 30 days from chapter 4 that since she's been invited over to his house. So that's a long time. 30 days would make you think what? As a queen. He's moved on. Uh-oh. Something's happened. He's not thinking about me, is what I would be thinking. He's not thinking about me. Why isn't he thinking about me? What did I do? Did I say something? Did I do something wrong? 30 days is a long time. Think back 30 days. Can you even remember what you were doing 30? I mean, 30 days is a long time. And it's interesting as you think through how she's trying to figure this out and how she's going to communicate. For me, I think through, how do I communicate? Do I have a plan when I'm trying to communicate something important? Why is the text leading us to think about that? Serious situations happening. Life or death for her. Most of us don't face those kinds of questions or deal with that intensity. But we do have conversations all the time. Do you think through your conversations?
Sometimes. I hope we do.
Sometimes. There's an honest man right there. How do you do that? Do you plan? Do you think through your conversations?
There's. I don't know if I'm reading too much into it, but so Esther doesn't do anything more than stand at the place that she's chosen, and the king somehow knows that she has a request. I don't know how, but
because she'd never be there if she didn't. She's risking her life to stand in that spot to say, because it just doesn't happen.
But it never happens. But his first response to her is, what do you want? Now, yeah. is that cultural? That is to say, you don't come to the king unless you want something? Or did she communicate non-verbally that she wants something? I don't know.
It seems like the text, as I read it, and as I've read with other commentaries, they're saying, he knows. She's coming with a request because she would never. You don't come unless you're called. You don't come and tell him about your breakfast or what you've been doing for the last few days. You're coming before him and in that spot to ask something. When he's on his throne. He's not always on his throne. He didn't sit there forever. He's there at certain times. And she knew it.
I can't help but think that there's people at the king's court that are in the know on things that are in the king's ear.
Yeah. You could think that, right? All right. So what's his reaction? What did he think? How did the king respond what he sees. What's his response?
He's pleased. Well, I think she gave him everything Vashti didn't without him having to ask. Mm-hmm. She impressed his court. She dressed for him.
Mm-hmm. That's great.
She took a risk. And based on her response, wasn't necessarily looking at anything to please the king additionally. So,
So in his head, what's he thinking? What's in it for him?
she was his.
What do you men think he's thinking?
He hasn't seen her in 30 days.
He hasn't seen her?
And she's queen for a reason. He's very attracted to her. She's very attractive. And so now she's 30 days later, you almost get the sense, I get the sense that he's forgotten about her. And then you're there and his inner core is like, wow.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. She better respond right.
What does it say about his response? When he saw Queen Esther standing in the court, he was pleased. Is that just a simple word there? Dan this week went through and looked at the words, what that meant. And you go back to Adam and Eve, Jacob, Isaac. What were their responses? Wow. They are, wow. I am pleased, right? That means a lot of different things. Right? He is seeing and responding really quick. He's going, wow, that is incredible. I am pleased. And so there's so much to that. So he sees that based on how much he's pleased. We know how much he's pleased because the text is leading us to know how pleased he is, right? What's happening after that? He does. So he sees her. He was pleased with her. And then what does he do? How long did it take him to do this? That's pretty quick.
That's my golden scepter now.
Isn't that a weird thing? Can you imagine, man, if we tried that? Horrible. That would be a horrible move. Don't ever try that.
I think that just alludes to the formality of the situation that they're in within the court. Mm-hmm. And all these people, so there's like certain steps that have to be taken.
Oh, yeah, obviously there's so much. We don't live in that kind of world. We're not in we don't have a king and queen in this country. There is one across the pond, and we look at that, but we don't live in that. We don't, it's not part of how we think about governing, right, as a king and queen. All right, so he holds up the scepter. She does what? Does everybody have to do that? Touch it? You're wondering why it says that? She walked up and touches it. What's that about? Is that just nothing? Is this formality? Why didn't she just come? Why didn't he just, okay, you can come. How far is that? How long did she walk where he's doing this? 5 feet, 10 feet, 100 feet? That's it. She's coming close, right?
So he can smell her perfume.
Probably hugs and high fives were not the thing back then.
The closer she gets, the more pleased he gets. Listen, when your wife comes close, you see her more, you smell her. Come on, think of that. Your wife gets close enough and then you're looking right at her. For men, the closer they get, the better it gets. Right? He's drawing her in. He knows that she has to come. I think it's very much a thing. You have to come and you hold this and you touch this.
Well, he must have been quite a Brad Pitt. It's like he's on a...
Well, he could have been an ugly mutt for all we know.
She's like, yeah,
he's a very lucky man. Yeah, I'm not thinking Brad Pitt at all. All right. So here's the plan. He goes right into the question. At least the text is saying that. What is it? What is it, Queen Esther? What is your request? Even up to half the kingdom, it will be given you. Why jump to the reward without hearing? Do you do that?
I just want to show off.
Want to show off?
He's a guy with bravado.
up to half the kingdom. Where else have you heard that phrase?
John the Baptist.
Well, in the Old Testament, I'm not sure if it's 1st or 2nd Samuel, maybe it's 1st Kings, who said that to his mother? Who said that? I'm going to grant your request even up to half the kingdom. Solomon said that to his mother, Bathsheba. Remember that story? This is not the first time this has been said. And one of Solomon's brothers wanted to marry the gal that was sleeping with David. Not sleeping with, but caring for him. What is her name? The Shumanite? Wasn't that her name? And so he says that to his mother. I'm going to give you a... And he didn't know what she would... But what did he do? Now, he heard the request and, nope. That ain't happening. If he makes it at the end of the day, it's going to be crazy. He's going to die for that request. So this is a serious thing, what he's saying, right? It's not flippant. But there's something, the motivation behind this is, I don't care what she asks for, I'm going to give it to her. There's a lot behind that. And her request, he doesn't have any idea what's coming. I don't think he could have ever thought that this request was coming, especially in the way she unfolds it. All right, so Esther, she listens to this. Here's the response. I'm going to get what I want. Right? Okay, if it pleases the king, all this language of just buttering him up. If it pleases the king, replied Esther, let the king, together with Haman, come today to a banquet I have prepared for him. I can't imagine him thinking that was what this was about. Him getting invited to a banquet. And so... That's true. I mean, I'm sure this is okay. I thought this was just going to be me and you. That's what I would have been thinking. Come to a banquet and bring Dan. Okay. All righty. That'll be nice. That's not what most men are thinking. They definitely don't want another man there. That is interesting. So I'm sure he's wondering, what is that about? To a banquet I have prepared. And what is his response? Let me pray about it. Let me think about it. What's he say? That was pretty quick. Get Haman right now. Bring him. Go find him. I mean, there's such an immediacy. It's leading us to think a lot of things about what he's thinking about. Right? I love the way the text invites us in to think about what is happening all behind this. So verse 5 describes the king's reaction to her request. And then what's your impression of his response to her through that? Just what's she thinking now that he's just like, yep, half the kingdom, go get Haman.
He wants to please her.
He does. His motivations are, we don't know for sure, but he's motivated. And for her, this is what? How is she feeling right now at this moment? This is going how I thought it should go. She's got to be happy, thinking, okay, this is, man, I didn't know what he was going to do, but this is what's happening. And so if I'm her, I'm thinking, okay. I would be thinking, Lord, okay, this is the plan. And it's working. And I am so grateful, right? All right. So as we keep moving on in this, the next verse down there. So the king and Haman went to the banquet Esther had prepared. As they were drinking wine. So what's that? Did she go get the $2 chuck, or what was she doing there? What's happening with that? Why are they doing that? Is this after the meal, most likely, right? It would imply that, right? They could be eating still, but they're afterwards, right? As they were drinking wine. The king, again, he comes to her with the question. Now, what is your petition? It will be given you. And what is your request? Even up to half the kingdom that will be granted. So that's a second time. And as I kept reading the rest of the book yesterday to the end, there's three or four more times he says that. All the way to the end. So this is a phrase she's going to hear again and again. And then what's her reply? And what's the difference between a petition and a request? What do you think? Why did she do that? Why is she not just coming out with it? Or at least leak it out. There is nothing other than I want to feed you and just hang out. I would be confused at some level of why isn't Anita just saying whatever she wants? Why? What is that?
Well, petition would be probably something more important that she really needs done.
Mm-hmm.
And a request is maybe optional.
Hmm. Okay. And what is that about? What's going on with the petition request? What is that?
It's almost like he's granting her two wishes. I don't know how much I'm reading into this. It seems to me a petition is something I ask of the king.
Mm.
A request is something I ask of a friend.
Mm.
And I don't know if I'm reading too much into it.
Mm.
Maybe he's saying, look, as you are one of my subjects, even though you're officially queen, you have the right to petition the king for his favor.
Mm.
But I'm inviting you to request something of me as somebody that's more than just a subject. I have no idea if that's...
Yeah, well, no, I mean, that's certainly, you can certainly think that, right? And then she adds on to that, if the king regards me with favor, and if it pleases the king to grant my petition and fulfill my request... She's labeling those things different. Let the king and Haman come tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for them. So you have a banquet. He says, okay, what in the world do you want? What is it you want? I'll do anything. Give you anything. And then she responds, come to another banquet tomorrow. What would you be thinking?
What does she want?
What does she want? Just think of that in your own marriage. If you did that to your spouse did that to you, we need to talk. But you know, I'm going to make dinner. Let's just eat. We're going to talk, and I'll tell you then. And so what are you thinking as you're thinking about it? What is she going to want in the world is this? Why do we have to have dinner?
I think there's times in your life you want to have a conversation with your spouse or something important, and it's not going well.
Mm.
Or the situation, you're like, you know what, now's not the right time to bring this up.
Mm.
So whether it was, they said they were drinking wine, maybe they were drunk, and she's like, you know what, this is not the time to ask this question.
Mm.
The Lord puts upon her heart, hey, you know what, this is not the time. And so that's what I think when I read it, is that the second thing was because she sits there the first one and goes, you know, this is not the moment.
Think of that. There's something happening in that banquet, in my mind.
It almost seems to me that when she's building this much suspense in, she's giving Xerxes an opportunity to do something he doesn't do very often, which is it's like, I'm going to give you 24 hours and you think about this, because this, what I'm going to ask is it's a big ask. And I think she wanted, it's all speculation. Maybe she wanted him to be really, really ready. It's like, because this may be the biggest request any queen has made of any king.
Mm.
You know, it's like the fate of an entire race of people is at stake here. This is a big deal. I want you to take my request seriously.
But it's weird then, again, to bring Haman along.
Yeah. Twice. We just had a great evening. You want to bring this guy over again? What in the world?
I think we can obviously say it's the Lord, because we know what happens in chapter 7, right? I mean, the king's response might have been different if not for what happens the next day.
Absolutely, right? He either said, in her spirit, no, this is not the night. What can we suppose that Haman is like at that banquet? Just sitting there quietly drinking his wine? What is he talking? He could just be blabbering the whole time. You've had people over, and you think a conversation is going to go this way. And it doesn't, because somebody just said, clueless, and they're just talking and talking about whatever. And it just takes, and the whole night you're just going, I thought this was going to, this is not what happened. There's so many things as they're drinking wine. There's a lot that happens when people drink wine. Drink anything in excess. It usually doesn't make you quieter. It usually does something to loosen your tongue. And so that in my mind, it has to have been something. I don't know. You don't know, so you are speculating. It doesn't say that her plan all along was two banquets. That's a lot. It's a lot. To think, okay.
Do you think, too, that she might have still been trying to encourage to do this?
Well, there's always that, right? I don't know. I just couldn't get it out, right? I'm sitting there, just couldn't find the right time. Listen, timing is everything, often, right, Jim?
Yeah, timing, when you mentioned timing is everything, it reminded me of something you did not mention. She has already has this prepared, mm-hmm. and the king says, what is your request? And she doesn't know what how he's going to respond, mm-hmm. but she is apparently has this already prepared, and the meal is there. I wonder what he thought when all of a sudden, okay, I've got it all prepared, come right on in. You know, he just hears, going to hear the request. So she was operating a lot on faith, man.
Oh, well, he knows, okay, first time he asks, I'm going to give you whatever you want. I'm so pleased with you. Come to a banquet. Great. He shows up. They have the banquet. Did she already have people in the back cooking another one? We don't know. Yeah, you know, that's it certainly could be. But in my mind, I never would ask Dan. If I want to refresh the relationship, we're going to have dinner in a certain spot. The thing is planned out, right? He's wondering, certainly, why is she asking him to come? Why is this happening? What does he keep getting invited for? I would become more and more irritated the longer this goes. Yeah, right. He's still pleased, right? But there is some buildup of, he is wondering, okay, what does he want out of this? What does he think he's ultimately going to get? What is this about for him? Why is he so willing, so quick?
It makes him happy to make her happy.
He's going to get something. I hope he felt that. I hope he did, that he loved her. He's wanting something. He's wanting intimacy. He knows if he does what she wants and keeps playing, he's going to get that. There's nothing in the text that would lead us to think that he has some altruistic motives.
But go back to Vashti. He likes people to know his wife did
that. Yeah.
That's how you know Haman was there.
Yeah. It's interesting. It's so very different than the other banquet. Even her banquet, Esther's banquet, right? Where there's officials and there's one guy. It's not everybody. It's not the whole kingdom is celebrating. This is you and one person. So I would be very much wondering, okay, what is this? Why does she have this guy coming? Okay. All right, so as we try to wrap up here, trying to think through this. So he asks again, what do you want? What is your request. And there's another invitation. So, okay, I'm going to another banquet. All right, great. So then he leaves, Haman leaves that. He leaves the first banquet, goes, and he's what? What is Haman as he leaves that place?
Happy.
So he had a good time.
He feels personally honored.
Yeah. He walks out. He's very full of himself. I am this incredibly special person.
And then he sees Mordecai.
And then he sees his favorite person. And how does that playing out here? So what does it say there when he sees him? Anger. Okay. He sees it.
Am I reading something yet? Because throughout when Haman refers to Mordecai, it's generally Mordecai the Jew.
Yeah.
And am I reading something in that this hatred of Mordecai because he is the Jew? Playing out in our world today.
Oh gosh, it's incredible. It feels like this is the most current thing, the hatred. I mean, I don't watch the news intentionally because I want to do something, but I can't do anything. So watching the news is just setting myself up for frustration. It can't solve the things that are out there. But it is unbelievable as we talk about this. Anti-Semitism is the whole book. And isn't that amazing that a couple thousand years later, it's at a tipping point. I mean, it's incredible that could be. And where was it? Was it just now cultivated? No. This sits in people's hearts, this hatred. Hatred is taught. You're teaching your kids? How are you teaching your kids? What are the conversations that have to be happening in kids' homes for them to respond like that? One day they're playing volleyball on the college campus. And the next day, there's intense hatred that they want to kill a group of people.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you can't. There's no other way. Yeah, it's incredible, isn't it? So he sees Mordecai, and he lashes out and beats him right there. What's the text say?
Nevertheless.
He pulled it together and said, I'm not going to do anything in that moment. Then he goes home, and he's back to his high spirits, right? What does he do when he gets home?
Well, he knows he's going to another party the next day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure his family was like, so how was your dinner? Being acquainted, just you and them?
Yeah. They had to wonder, okay, what in the world? Why did she ask you to come? Why were you specially invited?
He knows the relationship between Mordecai and her. Mm. And that he's invited to a banquet by her.
Well, I don't think he knows about that yet. The text doesn't say that. It says it's revealed in the next chapter.
Okay.
In 6.
I think he knows that Mordecai is going to be killed soon anyway, so he's like, you know, if his love is passed and everything, so he's just like, yeah.
Yeah, he does know that. He's hoping. He's hoping that he'll be gone soon. I don't know how many months this is. I think it's several months before. So it's like horrible. We're going to kill you in 3 months. We'll see you. Yeah. No, he's a pretty under the radar there, isn't he? All right, so we're out of time. But, you know, as you look at this and I think through, anytime you read a text like this, sit in it. Ask yourself the questions of what is happening in all this. It is interesting, his family, his friends, the friends you pick, the people you listen to. Wow. The advice they gave him. What kind of family is that? One chapter, one day later, when you read chapter 6, it's incredible the difference. Oh, you're ruined. You're screwed. See ya. From one day to the next. Kill the guy and go have a party. Don't even think about it. Who you associate with, how you hear things from other people. Who do you allow to speak into your life? Be so careful. I just, as some of the, just real quickly, these, as I think through this chapter, as I've mentioned before, I've been reading Chuck Swindoll's book on Esther. He has such great, at the end of every chapter, he kind of looks at it, and these were his takeaways from this chapter 5. When preparing for an unprecedented event, wait on the Lord before getting involved. Did she do that? Yes, she did. You know something's big is coming? Don't vomit out a response. Pray. Right? Wait. Ask God, what do I do? How do I do this? When dealing with an unpredictable person, count on the Lord to open doors and hearts. What's that mean? You are asking God, if you don't want me to go there, I don't want to. If I'm not supposed to move here, take this job, stop it. But I'm going to keep responding. I'm going to go until you change this person's mind. I'm going to be patient. I'm going to wait. But you're asking. This is all about you and the Lord walking through and inviting him in to whatever's going on. At any point in your life, you're always asking, inviting. When working through an unpleasant situation, trust the Lord for enduring patience. Man, I don't typically need much patience because I'm a very patient person. We all know that's a laugh, right? You never pray for patience. Don't pray that. You know what's going to happen. All right. When standing against an unprincipled enemy, ask the Lord for invincible courage. Did she need courage? Did God give it to her? Yeah. All the commentaries I read on what was happening during those 3 days of fasting was certainly praying. That's her tradition. It wasn't just sitting there weeping, sackcloth and ashes. She was asking God, for what do I do in this situation? And that is such an amazing practice. Do you fast? Do you ask God and invite him into these things? Lord, what in the world? Because, most of us have these situations all the time in life. What do I do with my kids? How do I respond to this? What do I do with this health crisis? What do I do with everything in your life should be bathed in prayer. Thoughtful, slow, waiting, asking God to do this, right? To open doors, to change people's hearts, change my heart. So much of our prayer life is that. God doesn't do anything quickly that I've seen. I want him to all the time. Lord, do this. I pray and then I'm looking around, waiting for a response. But no, God moves slowly. And he works in so many different ways in our life to bring us so we're ready to receive what he's going to do that we have no idea. So the preparation of allowing God to do that is just incredible. I love this story. I love where it's leading us and of what we're discovering through this in her life. She's an amazing woman who responds to incredible events in her life with incredible courage. I love it. It's making me really think about how am I responding to God? How am I thinking through what he's doing in my life? All right, let's close in prayer. Lord, thank you. Thank you for just the way you worked in this story with Esther and the king. Lord, you knew this was going to happen and you raised her up for that, and how she responded is incredible. And Lord, I want that in my life. I want to respond to the life you've given me in a way that pleases you. I want to have courage and patience, God, I pray for all of us here, God, that we would respond to life like she did with prayer and fasting, that we would seek you, that we would invite you into every circumstance we have, jobs, family, life, health, everything, God. All of our relationships, God, we want to honor you with them. So would you give all of us the ability and just the wisdom to call upon you and seek you out all the time, every day, every moment. So we're grateful for this time and for this book we get to study. In your name we pray. Amen.